Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, beautiful pod people, and welcome to another brand spanking fresh new episode of Is It Just Me? The podcast that talks about all manner of nonsense and serious shizazzle. And of course, it's not just me. It's never just me. It is me, Jo Elvin, host and co-host.
Well, I'm James Willis. I'm still in awe of that amazing use of shizazzle.
I love shizazzle, and I'm not allowed to say it at home. Oh. So you're going to hear it a lot on the podcast.
Bring it on. I'm loving
it. It's like the husband and young flatmate get very upset if I say anything vaguely youthful. Oh, so shizazzle away.
Oh, I can't wait to start using that inappropriately around millennials and offending them.
Speaking of bedazzling shizazzle.
I mean, talk about it. Come on.
We've got an amazing guest today. She is a writer, a presenter, an author, a charity founder, and one of the country's most inspirational stories and speakers. It is the amazing Miss Katie Piper.
Yay. Hello. Well, that was a good introduction.
Thanks.
That was a good one,
Alvin. That was a tough pedestal to be on.
Oh, come on. You've earned it.
Oh, thank you. Well, I don't know about that, but thank you.
How do you, when you look in the mirror in the morning, what do you tell yourself that you are? You know, who am I?
Shattered.
Because actually, yeah. We have to say something. You've only just recently had your second baby.
That's and right. Yeah,
14
yeah.
weeks
14
ago, right?
14 weeks ago.
And by the way, readers, to look at Katie, you would never know it. I mean, how are you handling it? I mean, is the second one harder?
I think there's this like new confidence with the second one, and you know, the poor child has no photos of themselves printed off on the walls in the
so
house.
That's the thing. I never had a second one, and I would have liked to in a lot of ways, but because I remember sort of smothering the first one with such anxiety and paranoia. I was thinking, I've got to have another one so that this poor kid gets a break from all my...
That's the positive
helicoptering
thing.
Yeah,
so much less anxious. You know they're not going to die. You know it's fine. You know with the first one, I sat there reading books, showing them black and white images. Now I'm just like, I'm going to do my emails. You're never going to remember this.
I know.
It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. And you're not going to get ill, really, statistically. Maybe not. You know. So it's good. It's much better. You're so much more confident.
And also, clearly, maternity leave doesn't apply to you, Katie.
No, it was a good time to have the baby just before Christmas. You know, the lull in work is naturally there. Everyone's skiing or somewhere like the Maldives
just
or something.
Discreetly,
you know?
Pop that out.
Get it done. And then I kind of just went back to work in January. I am really fortunate that some of the work I do, I can take the baby with me. The baby's coming on tour. My eldest at 4 is quite independent. You know, she passes nappies, she talks to me.
Aww.
She asks me why my tummy's still fat when there's no baby in there. You know,
they're straight talkers, aren't they?
Yeah, it's really funny.
Harshest actually. Critics, kids.
Get a filter, kid.
But it's good. It's like a best mate. You know, like with the first, it was just me and her at home alone. With my daughter being there, I kind of shared the baby. It's quite cool. Yeah. So.
Is your older one, is she aware of your celebrity?
Sort of, but sort of not. She's, if I'm at home and stuff's on telly, she's like, so how comes you're in the telly and you're here? And then, you know, she loves this thing, Kids Tube. She watches Kids Tube where kids like open toys and explain the toys to you.
Oh,
and she's like, Mum, get me in the iPad. And I
said,
told a bit of a white lie. I'm like, oh, I don't really know if we get in the iPad. She's like, I've seen you in the iPad. iPad, and I'm like, well, you know.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's brilliant.
So, but she's obviously not allowed in the iPad age four. But she came to a show. We did this show, Bristol Fashion Week, the other week, and it was like diverse catwalk with people with disabilities and disfigurement. She came to the rehearsal, and she was on the catwalk and stuff, and she was like, oh, you're going to be on there. So, but I think maybe she just thinks everyone's on there. So yeah. It was interesting because she noticed the disabilities in the models, but she's never noticed my disfigurement. Oh. And it opened up a conversation about people with prosthetics, and I said, oh, what about mummy? And she was like, what? I said, anything different about mummy? She was like, still got the big tummy but no baby. I was like,
that's amazing.
Stop body shaming me. So, and then that was it, the conversation ended.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And also, you mentioned obviously the tour. So, do you want to talk a bit more about that? Because you're taking yourself on tour. How amazing is that?
Do you know what? It's really cool because.
Like a proper rock star.
Yeah, rock star.
Well, I don't know. Then when you go and you see all the minging dressing rooms and how low budget it all is, you realise it's not rock star. But I've done so much corporate speaking. And I thought, you know, I'm a really accomplished speaker. This is going to be really easy. But still, I get really nervous. And it is totally different to being booked for doing corporate talks.
Because it's like, it's a 2-hour show, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, holding an audience for that long is it takes quite a lot of you.
Yeah, and it can't just be holding them through one style of, you know, here's my story, are you shocked, are you inspired? You know, there has to be humour, there has to be light, there has to be dark, there has to be a bit of sort of interaction and audience take home as well. And I started writing the show before I was pregnant, and then obviously that continued through the pregnancy, the hormones, and then I was like, at the end of the pregnancy, like, I can't do this, I can't go on stage alone, I'm crap, and they'll know I'm crap. And,
oh my god,
and then I'd had the baby,
every writer's process.
Yeah, I regret the whole thing, can we just like take the tickets off for sale?
Oh my god.
Then it was fine, and I've done 4 shows now. I'm actually on the tour and it's brilliant. I've had standing ovations, people have blogged, and you know, the blog is the best feedback because they're not paid to blog, they just write what they want, you know, and you get to read that, so that's good. So yeah, it's going well. One woman show, looking at mental health, serious parts, funny parts, costume changes, lycra, dancing.
What
music.
More could you ask for?
Sounds like Britain's Got Talent.
yeah, but it's fun because it's one of those like bucket list things. I never thought I'd get to do it, and it's some of it's grueling, but some of it I'm really enjoying. And
is it
great
totally up and down the country?
Up and down the country. There's one London date on the 21st of May, and the rest is all regional. So yeah it's cool.
And how do you find the sort of audiences? Do they vary from city to city, or
they have so far? I'd say it's primarily female audience, with a couple of like plus one men dragged along who then end up really enjoying it, which
oh no. And do you look at the guys in the audience and think, oh, I know you don't want to be here? How does that make you feel when you stand on stage?
I feel like they misheard and thought it might have been Katie Price.
Like, really, a whole different kind of show.
Really disappointed. But no, because actually, you know, it is looking at things like anxiety and depression. And, you know, that affects all of us. It doesn't matter what gender.
And men,
we are.
You could argue even more so at the moment. Yeah. This is the biggest killer in men, you know?
Well, there's a meet and greet for people that bought the posh tickets at the end. And a lot of those are the plus one men. And they're like, I didn't want to come, or I didn't know even who you were, but I'm really glad I came because XYZ. And then that's always like, that's the best feedback you can get, you know.
And what do you think is, what's your goal for the takeaway for people?
I think it's looking at the modern world we live in, where we have this ironic vicious circle of envying things that don't exist, so like with social media and blogging, and to sort of really give a real perspective of, you know, the question I'm asked always is how to be confident. And I think to answer that question, we have to break down what is confidence. You know, it's not a fleeting moment. What we all want is consistent confidence in all areas of our life. Really hard to get.
Yeah.
So, you know, the tour breaks that down into sections of acceptance, owning it, facing up to mental health problems, and then finally sustaining that once we have it. So I hope it will be a bit of a life changer for people to realise what it really is. You know, I always feel like my story doesn't get done justice within like tabloid press of like, this thing happened to me and I'm really inspiring and now I'm okay. It really doesn't work like that.
Yeah.
You know, and you really can't answer that question in a, you know, like take a break article that's in the hairdressers when you go and get your roots done. So I hope to give a more intelligent, informed answer in that tour, and one that people can apply to anything. You don't have to be burned to apply that message to your life.
And do you think as well, I mean, because I guess, you know, it's a relatively new thing, isn't it, for people to at least openly talk about mental health and therapy. I mean, is that something that very much you became aware of Were you always quite in touch with your mental health, or, you know, is it relatively a new thing for you?
I think I've become more in touch with it. I mean, I had no choice, you know, and I've been through a lot of professional help, a lot of therapy. And I think it's great, the movement we're seeing with celebrities, because, you know, like, people on the street think, well, if you're wealthy, you won't get affected by mental health because...
Oh, isn't it crazy?
I know, it's really weird. And yeah. It's like, I don't know, maybe more so you'd be affected by mental health if you had material possessions.
Well, it's just different baggage, isn't it?
Yeah, and maybe you then feel that you've lost the right to voice it because you should be happy because you're rich or whatever. So I think it's great people with shiny lives are coming out saying everything's not so shiny behind closed doors. And it can never be a negative thing, all different people from different backgrounds discussing what is taboo and just should not be taboo. Like, why should it be taboo?
It's also, I think it's very, very much a British thing as well, because it was quite interesting. I was talking to an American friend of mine the other day, and I just sort of said, oh, how's your day been? So, oh, I just came from therapy. And she's like, wow. She's like, you're the first British person I've ever heard openly acknowledge go to a therapy. It's like, in America, we all see them every day of the week.
Like going to the gym.
Yeah. And I was like, no, I think it's really important that people now start in the UK, because we have been that British reserve, that stiff upper lip has prevented us from really acknowledging that we all at the end of the day need to look after ourselves mentally as well as physically.
Well, it's like the beauty industry being this $1 billion industry, and we all, you know, we all look after our bodies, our skin, but we don't look after the inside. I mean, even as English people, we don't look after our teeth, you know. Now we're getting better at looking after our teeth. Because
the teeth and the mental health are going hand in hand.
Yes, it's good.
Well, yours are bloody magnificent.
Well, I'm investing in both. And it's paying off for me in all kind of ways. But yeah, I mean, when people say to me, are you still in therapy? I'm like, am I still in therapy? I'll be in therapy for the rest of my life. Mm. Maybe not for a physical therapist, but in many other ways. Of course, I'm still in therapy because...
What would you say to the one person that's very reticent? Do they feel like, oh, you know, it's they're making that first step? What's your first...
It's your responsibility to look after you. You can't go out there and, like, think you can have relationships, have a family, if you're not going to look after your mental health. You know, you can't be in love with somebody if you're not putting yourself first and loving yourself. Confidence... Good mental health is personal responsibility. Please don't scroll for Instagram and wish I was her, wish I had my stuff together like she did. You know, you've got to make it happen for you. And it won't happen any other way, you know.
Hear.
Do you think, and I don't want to, it's hard to frame this question and, you know, sort of like worrying about being insensitive, but in some ways, what you've been through, do you feel like it's almost given a gift, like nothing could ever be that bad? Do you know what I mean?
It's a good comparison meter, isn't it? Of like, well, whatever life throws at me, I guess it can't get worse than that. And, you know, there's these affirmations about things, if they don't break you, they make you stronger. And I suppose that is a good gauge. But, you know, you can't sort of say, it's like, you know, if you've had cancer, okay, well, I don't deserve anything else after this. Bad things are still going to happen. Other bereavements are still going to happen, you know. And it depends, you know, for me, my mum got ill and that was just as bad. It wasn't as physical to me, but it was still a big part of my life.
I guess it just helps with perspective, doesn't it? This is the problem you often have is, and I think, you know, I do think the majority of people don't have such awful things. Obviously, we all have things like bereavement, but, you know, generally speaking, we don't all go through terrible things. And I think you then have a tendency to think that actual inconsequential things are really important, when in fact they're not. When you hear about what's really important, I think that's often enlightening.
And it's breaking the rules of, like, you know, you're told as a young woman, if your appearance is altered, that's the worst thing. And you're like, well, why? Who sets up that rule? Why? Only because society says it. So why can't, you know, we're seeing with all these bloggers and all these different shapes and sizes that we're seeing in campaigns now, we're seeing people break those rules and set their new set of standards. So, you know, I say that's about that reinventing ourselves, and it's a big topic around identity and self-worth, and, you know,
it's so interesting you say that. It's like, I don't want to get anyone in trouble, but my daughter's group is of that age, that sort of like that hormonal sort of bullying age, and one of them posted on Instagram, I think privately, but still, sort of like who they thought were the 5 prettiest girls.
Oh, that's interesting.
In the year, and it took me hurtling back to that time and how awful it is. But then my daughter told me that another girl put on that. It's like, who do you think you are to decide? And what does it matter who's the prettiest and who isn't? And I'm, you know, I want my friends to value me for more than that. And I thought, wow, because.
Good for her, speaking out, though.
Human nature doesn't really change, but that part of the conversation would not have happened when I was at high school. So it's slow, but I think that, yes, you're absolutely right. What's going on in society is having a real change in like people's attitudinal shifts, and I think that's amazing.
All the movements out there at the moment are changing so many things, and that's where social media is so powerful, because it has given the voiceless a voice. It's also given the idiots a voice. So there's like that mix.
But we need to know who the idiots are.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with that. Yeah.
No, I think it's positive. It's a platform.
Yeah. No more secret idiots.
No,
they're
that's
all out
true.
In the open.
Yeah. But it just goes back to personal responsibility. Use it wisely and recognise the idiots. Understand that, you know, protect yourself.
And you're right, actually, idiots aren't very good at covering their tracks.
Yeah,
you know, they're very openly
true.
Idiotic, so you can easily spot
them. I'm learning. I'm learning as I go along.
Well, speaking of idiocy, should we do some topics, people?
Yeah.
Okay, so is it just me that absolutely shudders at the thought of clubbing?
Is it just you? I can answer that succinctly and immediately. No.
Good.
I remember...
this will be alienate our very young audience, any of your younger member of our audience.
I've always been such an old fogey. Yeah. I remember being 19 to sort of 25 and going to clubs and suffering through it with my friends and literally standing on the dance floor at 2 o'clock in the morning thinking, don't worry, one day you'll be 30 and no one will let you in here. And then you can just go home and have a cup of tea.
Yeah, see, I mean, for
when did you kick off your clubbing?
Did you ever enjoy it?
Well, I look back and thought I did, but I was so drunk. I wasn't in the present moment anyway. So it was like an anaesthetized fake thing. Like, I look back and I'm like, that wasn't genuine real fun because I had to get drunk to enjoy it. I wasn't one of those sober people. So it was all a lie anyway, you know?
Do you think it's the expectations? I feel like every time someone mentions clubbing, it feels like it's a real, like, you know, like actual, like... almost like a mini New Year's Eve. You know when New Year's Eve is built up to fail?
It's
always a big sort of production and everyone gets really jealous. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of your time because normally you're there from like 12 till 5 a.m.
Oh my God.
The whole thing is a big investment.
And that's the thing. Yeah. For me, it's the endurance test.
Yeah.
I just cannot stay awake that long.
See,
I can't do it.
No, oh my God, definitely not. I mean, I love going out still, but I love a good round table and I love drinking at the table, eating, talking so I can hear the people reply. I hate people getting too close to me, spitting in my ear, trying to speak really loud.
I don't know how old you are, Katie, but you sound as middle-aged as
she's not.
I'm a baby. I like to be able to sit down. I have no truck with this no reservation thing. I want to know that I'm getting a table.
Oh yeah,
nice table.
But that's so funny what you said about clubbing conversations are literally just a joke, because when anyone tries to talk to you in a club environment, you try and you just go, you smile and nod, and they could have told you the most depressing thing about themselves and you're just laughing and smiling going ha ha, thinking and pretending you know what they're saying.
I remember my last trip to a club. I sort of stood there. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, and a random man who I'd never met before in my life turned around and licked my face.
Oh, like from
chin to forehead, and I could smell it for the rest of the night.
Oh my
and
God. Thought,
that's it, I'm done. I'm done. Why am I doing this?
That's like a salt. No, that's disgusting.
Yeah.
Oh my God,
I didn't think I had a Me Too.
Yeah, that's
there
not
you
Me
go.
Too.
Yeah.
No.
I mean, it's funny, isn't it? Because I have to say, I always say this, I'm at that point now, I'm with you, Katie. The idea of going clubbing makes me literally shudder and want to run for the hills or run for my home in the hills. But, I mean, having said that, if you catch me at just that teetering, drunken, you know, buzzy moment...
You'd still go.
I would go. And I have been, and I've had moments of success where I've actually loved it. And I've also had moments of going, oh my God, I've lasted half an hour and I thought, get me the hell home. So I haven't quite given up the ghost entirely.
So,
and I will say, I went to Ibiza for the first time last summer.
Hardcore.
Well, it was a 40th birthday party. We talk about literally, you know, the lights of being literally like faded down. But we all went to Ibiza for this 40th birthday. And I did surprise myself. Because I don't know if it's because I thought, I'm in Ibiza, when in Ibiza, you know, when in Rome.
Did you stay awake all night then?
I actually went to one club, and I have to say, it's probably one of the best nights ever. I thought probably the best clubbing night of my life, even when I was in my 20s. And I was out till 7 a.m.
So what was good about it? Because I've never had a good experience.
I think it was busy, but it wasn't too busy. And the music was just, for me, because I find for me, it's a bit like being Goldilocks. Finding the right DJ or the right kind of music, because we're all a bit particular, aren't you? And some people like the really heavy stuff. And I had some nights in Ibiza where that literally... made me want to just cry because it was so depressing.
So I need just to find a club where they play the Grease soundtrack all night.
Exactly. Or David Bowie.
Even if I found the right music, I'd be like, can you take down a bit?
Yeah.
A headache.
Yeah.
Think about
black
coffee.
Yeah. So it's funny. I don't know. I think I could be a bit of a fair weather clubber. But I also think, I know I shouldn't say this, maybe this isn't very correct to say it, but also you can't help but feel, is it an age thing? No one wants to be that old fart on the dance floor in a club.
You know, I didn't enjoy it when I was young.
No, I didn't love
What's wrong
when
with
I was
me?
Young.
But having said that, in Ibiza, there were people in their 60s and 70s, and I loved it. Maybe that's why I love this one night.
But maybe that's the next stage you get to, when then you're reborn, and then
well,
you
I guess
go,
when
like,
you think,
is it because you felt all young and funky?
Possibly,
around all
maybe
the,
that's
all
exactly what it was.
People.
I was like,
See, I'm old and investing in nice clothes and handbags, and I don't want people to spill stuff on them. Yeah. I want a table where I put the bag,
there
and then
that.
People can be like, nice. Top. I'm like, where's your top from?
Oh my god, we sound like such princesses. And I'm fine with it.
Yeah. I don't care. Yeah. No, I openly hate it.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you on the whole, but I don't think I'm quite ready to hang up my shoes just yet, because I don't want to be a total hypocrite saying, yeah, I'm done with all that, and then somebody will spot me somewhere. But
if you want to defend clubbing,
yes,
then do email us at isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com, because in fairness, I don't think I've been to a club since about 1994.
If you want to invite me and Joe up clubbing, email us.
I will not go.
I'm not coming, no way.
You will not want me to come with you. I guess I could hold the handbags, but if they're nicer than mine, I'm going to steal them.
But do email us. We love hearing from you guys. And yes, feel free to call us old farts, tell us what you think of the show. And also, if you do get a second, we'd love you to review the show on iTunes, because it really helps the show perform.
You've reviewed it, haven't you, Katie?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Of course you have.
You won't be released from this office until you do.
Because she's not clubbing anymore. Yeah. So all she does now is go home and review things on iTunes, right, Katie?
You're sitting down, life. You can hear us.
Yeah,
it's great.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is it just me? I mean, I'm finding it's happening more and more that now I catch myself watching Insta stories rather than actually watching live TV. Is it just me?
Ooh. It's not, because I am the worst for this, to the point it's my husband's bugbear about me.
Is it a bad thing though?
Well, my husband's like, can you stop stalking other people's lives and be in our life with me and you? And also, again, I'm the person recording lots of what we're doing. I mean, he's not social media at all. He doesn't even have accounts, you know.
No, right. We call my husband the ghost.
Oh yeah, mine too. Yeah, he's just anonymous and he just thinks it's weird. And he gets fed up with me. You know, he's like, can you just eat the food and stop filming the food and filming the process of making the food? But yeah, I mean, I would sit on the sofa.
He's crazy.
I would sit on the sofa and happily watch Insta story, and I would gauge how long I've done it, but I'll know he's gone out to the gym or he's gone for dinner. He comes home, I'm still there. He's like, I've
so we're talking multiple hours.
Yeah.
So who do you like on Insta stories? Because, I mean, my friend and our friend, Dorno Porter, is sort of like owning it at the moment. She's just so... I just never think to do it. I mean, she's TV trained, so she thinks that way.
Yeah.
But, most people I follow are doing like just static pictures every now and again on Insta stories.
No, see, I follow some young cool people who are doing stuff that
those clubbers.
Yeah, well, like you think like Maya Jama, she's on Radio 1, she's fun, and I'm just at home eating, watching it, and I'm just like getting excitement, living my life through her. Then I'll follow people I relate to, so Giovanni, Rochelle Humes, they're blogging about their kids, their working life, juggling it all, and I kind of love that. And then I'll follow the people that make me feel bad about myself but motivate me, the trainers, the exercise, the rest. recipes, some of the healthy living vegan people who are recycling everything.
I tell you my issue with it, Katie, right? I mean, I don't think I'm quite as far down the line with it as you are. I mean, I find I do get a bit bored, but the one thing that always pretty much stops me in my Insta stories tracks mm-hmm. is the lives. I think that's a real problem.
Some of them are quite weird.
Well, I just feel like, you know, I like in stories because you can watch them. Normally there's a bit start, a middle and an end.
And then
once you hit that obstacle of life, you're like, oh, hang on. Then you have to sort of...
It's just someone in a taxi.
I feel like I'm fast forwarding.
I don't know how to do that.
I feel like that should be a separate thing. I think there should be a whole live section.
Then just get rid of them.
Just swipe away.
But do you get worried about offending people?
I mean, I will be honest. Once I've gone into somebody's story, I do feel compelled to then literally go all the way through to the end. I don't want them to think I didn't watch all the way to
You're
the
too
end.
Nice. The only etiquette I feel, I don't care who I offend, I worry who gets scared that I'm stalking them too much because it shows that I've watched it.
Yeah. So who are you stalking too much? Come on. All of them. Yeah. It's just us.
Do you know what it is? It's the times I stalk because obviously having a baby, I'm up at weird times.
But it's probably a lifeline for you then when you're feeding.
Feeding and up. And I suppose a lot of like taxi journeys between jobs, I'll go and have a good
I'm going to hold the line for television because
what is this TV you speak of, Jo?
No judgment, guys, absolutely. You've got very, very full and interesting lives sitting reading, looking at your Insta stories, and that's absolutely fine. I fear the slippery slope of that becoming so enragingly popular that my Netflix dies or my terrestrial TV. I need it.
I think Netflix is safe. I do worry for mainstream TV.
I mean, whenever I've got a TV show on, I'll jump on a live and be like, guys, I made the show, it's on channel blah blah tonight, watch it.
And they're all like, we're watching stories, bitch.
I know, that's the problem, isn't it? And I'm just for one night only, just watch this.
But, I mean, also arguing for it, I mean, the people that do it well, they are like little mini films, that they're done really, really well. I mean, the lazy ones are a bit like, okay, but the people that do it well are really funny and they add little bells and whistles.
People are starting to use it as a little talent scout ground, and people are getting television on the back of it.
Joe, I tell you who would convince. Do you watch lovely Sarah Powell of Jules and Sarah podcast?
Oh, she's great. Hi, Sarah.
Her story. Hello, Sarah, if you're listening. Yeah. Her stories are hysterical because for me, it's like a little mini stand-up gig every day.
Yeah. Oh,
without
really?
Fail, okay. I will watch her and she will make me laugh out loud about something.
So it's sort of replaced Vine in a lot of ways hasn't it? Yeah,
absolutely.
But this is when it loses its authenticity. When it becomes too commercial and lucrative, it gets spoiled. But when it's really authentic and they're funny and they're in their bedroom or they're going about their day, you feel like you're getting this private little look in.
Yeah.
And if they kind of partnership with people and get sponsored, they lose that.
True.
So
it's like everything,
don't get
it?
Successful,
So I mean, but speaking of which, so what kind of TV in traditional sense does it for you then, Katie?
What gets
you off Insta stories?
Stream of consciousness, millisecond little grabs. Someone will commission that. I mean, Gogglebox got commissioned for crying out loud.
I like Gogglebox. I like First Dates. They're good. I mean, I only really like documentaries, real life stuff, a bit of reality telly for escapism and kind of trash.
Are you a Love Island fan?
I was for one of the series, not every year religiously, and I'll watch a bit of. Celebrity Big Brother if they get good celebs that completely embarrass themselves, but yeah, mainly documentaries. I watch a lot of BBC Three now that's gone solely online. I like that kind of stuff, but yeah, I'm not a big TV person. It has to be real life stuff. I don't watch box sets. I don't watch series.
You're not like a Netflix binge watcher.
No, we don't even have Netflix.
Oh,
don't
my God.
You?
We've got Sky telly, that's it.
I actually don't think I could get up in the morning if I knew Netflix wasn't there.
I mean, that's really quite refreshing to hear.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, I mean, I watched like CBeebies. I love Peter Rabbit the film.
I don't miss those days when you're watching Claude the Bear and thinking, oh yeah, I've seen this one, it's a good one.
It's a classic.
Yeah. I like Peppa Pig, it's quite adult innuendo, it's quite good, you know.
Well, actually, Ben and Holly is better for that.
Did you ever watch Ben and Holly? Watch a bit of Ben and Holly, read a lot of Ben and Holly books.
Ben and Holly is like... Monty Python wrote it. It's quite subversive and there's quite like real sort of like adult sarcasm.
See, I don't concentrate enough because I pose as the parents sat next to her on the sofa watching Ben Holly, but really I'm on like Insta story while she's watching Ben Holly. It's multitasking.
I mean, it's win-win.
Yeah.
So are you convinced then, Jo, you're going to get on board with Insta stories?
No.
I mean, you're not for the turning day. She's not going clubbing, she's not going Insta story.
You're not watching the right people, you're missing out. If you had the right... Sorry, what's your top five people on Insta story?
Well, a lovely Sarah Powell, I would say, is very,
I'm
going to
have a... I'm giving you a look, Sarah.
I mean, to be honest, it does vary. I'm with you a bit. I mean, it's often the ones... I mean, I feel like I don't think to do it. So I wonder if that's my big obstacle. Well, so far, anyway. I'm getting there, but I'm not quite as fully on board as you are.
So you don't film yourself enough?
No, I mean, I do very little Insta stories.
What about the weird people that go live and they just pop the phone up and they just film themselves getting dressed?
I don't like it.
That's true.
Yeah, I'm against it.
It's not sexual. It's weird. It's just like they're doing their hair, they're getting dressed, they're in their bra, and then they're off out. And I'm watching it and I'm waiting and I'm invested so much time.
I have to say,
nothing happens.
I just think that that's got to be an unhealthy addiction where it's like I don't exist unless I'm I've got an audience online.
But
yeah, I like it.
Whereas I do feel the people that I actually admire the people that really put so much effort into it. I mean, and I just can't even. My brain doesn't even work in that way to think
well,
to
that,
do it.
That's why it's kind of like shut down to me because I don't know how to access it.
But all
But
all I will say is I remember a time when Jo Elvin did not like Instagram. She didn't get it. She didn't like it. And now
I don't remember that at all.
Yes, she didn't like it. She resisted for a long, long time.
That was my idiot twin sister.
So cut to you. I give her a couple more months and I reckon she'll be all over that Insta stories. She'll be like cashing in that Netflix subscription.
I like Instagram filters too much and you can't really do that on a live, so
you can put ears on yourself.
Oh yeah, you can do this. So
you turn yourself into a rat.
Okay, I'll do that. Alright, watch out for that, everyone.
She's warm to that.
Coming soon.
So as you know, guys, we love hearing from you here on Is It Just Me? And we've got a great little email all the way from America this week. It's from Kelly Rothschild. Hello, Kelly. Thank you so much for listening. And you messaged us to say...
She's from Boston.
She says, no coloured paper here in the States. I think you're referring to coloured toilet paper because I went into a massive rant about that on a few episodes ago. She says, I've never seen it, actually. I didn't even know it was a thing. Americans seem to love a variety in softness, toughness and sheets roll, but not colour. For a great show.
I don't know where you shop, Kelly, but there is no way that America has missed out on the opportunity to give the choice of colour. Have you seen? I was in America last week. The supermarkets are insane. It's like, you know, there's, I don't know.
But
like,
Joe, they've got Donald Trump. They're suffering enough. They don't need coloured toilet paper.
I bet Donald Trump's got coloured toilet paper.
It's probably the same colour as his hair.
I bet he's got it with, you know, like, who does he hate this week? He's probably already got Comey printed on all the sort of like little sheets so we can wipe him.
Well, if any other American listeners are out there and you have seen coloured toilet paper, get in touch. Let us know.
Otherwise, what I see everywhere is toilet paper with Donald Trump's face on. So many of my friends have got that now.
He's good for something, isn't he?
Yeah.
So,
I don't want to see that face any more than I need to.
But hey, all there.
Thank you so much for getting in touch, Kelly.
And for enjoying the show. We love hearing from you. And if you have any sort of messages or any suggestions for guests you'd love to see on the show or topics you want us to cover, then you know the email address. It's isitjustmepodcast@gmail.com.
Katie Piper, James Williams. Is it just me who is an utter, total and shameless T-diva? Now, what I mean by that is obviously T-diva. We're talking about this today. I saw on Twitter somebody put out a press release, something like
9,800 disappointing cups of tea in the average Briton's life.
I think that's quite a low number, considering I am such a T-diva that my office rule in my new job and in my old jobs is I don't want to make any of you a cup of tea, and I don't ask any of you to make me a cup of tea, because even I get my own cup of tea wrong sometimes. So
it's a dangerous game.
So fussy about it.
I like that rule, because it's quite a personal, particular thing, and I don't make tea. We only have herbal tea in my house. And if someone came and asked for it, I would not just want them to make their own, I want them to bring their own tea bags because we don't even have
tea. Are you even British?
I was going to say, Kate, what is this lunacy? What are you thinking of?
What is tea? Like, you know, we have herbal teas for all different elements. So we have chamomile for anxiety, we have mint for digestion, then we have coffee to live, to wake up and function. I don't understand the purpose of the other tea.
So hang on, have you never had like builder's tea in your life? Like, when you growing up and stuff, you never had?
When we had workmen at the house, I had to go and buy a box of tea, you know.
So do you, how do you make a cup of tea? I want to know this. Well, when you have to, when you're when forced you make, at gunpoint to make
an English breakfast tea.
I don't really understand how to do it because we don't. We also don't drink milk in my house. We have hemp milk, right?
So, oh my God, what is this insanity?
So I put the hemp milk in, and then it like curdles and comes to the top, and then I'm like, well, I leave the tea bag in because I drink herbal tea, so I don't really understand the etiquette with that. And then I just like panic, and I'm like, do you want to do it? I don't want to do it. I don't want to get involved.
You may as well just pack up and go and live in Paris. They're your people. They don't know how to make.
And can I just check? So was your husband not a tea drinker before you met you?
No.
Is that when you knew you were meant for each other?
Yeah, that's probably how we met. Unlike profile, doesn't like tea. That's great. Talk about marriage.
Your husband's British as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's quite unusual, I would say.
But what's the point of tea? Coffee has your caffeine, tick box.
So does tea.
But herbal tea has all these soothing properties, you know, so we don't need tea. It's just this weird mid-range
thing. Where the friggin' hell would East Enders and Coronation Street be if people couldn't make a cup of tea in a time of trauma and crisis?
Do you think... Were you always a big tea drinker back home in Australia?
Oh, my gosh. No. Australians are huge on tea. And, I mean, we are... It's our English ancestry. Yeah. But it's... Yes, and I would wager that I think Australians... take it even more seriously than, and I think we like it in the main. I think we like it even stronger.
What time in the day do you drink?
Morning.
Oh, but that wakes you up too.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's interesting though. But you see, I mean, when I have my mum and dad come to stay, because my thing is, I've now, I guess, been fed that, and I don't know if it's a media construct, but you know, we all talk about, you know, getting the best sleep of your life, and you have to do these certain things to get a good night's sleep. And one of the golden rules is no caffeine after midday.
Oh,
whereas
do that.
My mum and dad come and stay with me, and they are literally drinking cups of tea up until like 10 o'clock at night.
Say, my parents are like that.
And you know, so I have to say, I mean. I used to be I was a bit like anti-decaffeinated English breakfast tea.
Right.
But I've recently embraced that because I've suddenly thought, and this is going to sound really sad, in an attempt to not drink alcohol in the evening, I'm now trying to think, what do I want to drink? And I'm thinking, I'll drink tea. And I do, you know, peppermint teas.
Well, that's
and
how we
herbal
do the herbal teas, instead of gin and tonic.
But now I've embraced the...
You're doing it wrong.
You could get gin and tonic herbal tea, did you know that?
What is that like?
God, I really, really... I could murder a G&T right now, but you know what? I'll have a peppermint tea. It's just the same.
Me, yes.
What is going on?
So what's your cut-off time for tea? Is it midday then? Is that
I mean, at a push. No, actually, I would probably have a coffee up until 3 o'clock. Coffee or tea up until three in the afternoon.
But if I have a cup of tea about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, you know I'm having a fucking shocking day.
Yeah.
That is like real sort of like, this is the only thing that's going to get my soul through the next 2 hours.
So when you cut off tea, what replaces your tea?
Water. I'm very strict with myself because I am. If I drink caffeine after a certain time, I'm not getting to sleep that night.
Yeah.
See,
my husband drinks green tea before bed. I don't know how he even sleeps, but you know,
because that has quite a lot of caffeine in it, doesn't it?
And then he's that annoying person that gets in bed at night.
Is he genuinely enjoying that green tea?
Oh, he has green tea with strawberry green tea.
Wow.
So nice. And then he gets to bed. I'm like, don't you want to talk about X, Y, Z? He's like, no, he's asleep.
Well, I tell you what, if you're ever invited round to delightful Katie Piper's house...
Well, don't...
First
of all, don't
expect... BYO tea bags.
Yeah. Or don't expect a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Well, as in old-fashioned tea.
But I think it is a personal thing. I think you're right, you shouldn't make other people tea, because it is very personal. And if you get it wrong and they don't know you that well, they're seething and...
Well, it's all about the milk ration as well. I always find... I like a strong tea, but I like quite a lot of milk with it. And I think some people just think, oh, builder's tea needs to be, like, literally so, so strong and then hardly any milk. But I don't think that is what builder's tea is. But this is the problem.
I agree with
it's
you, James.
It's all so open to interpretation.
What's a dairy intolerant person supposed to do?
I mean, why... can I ask why... this is going to be such a middle-class conversation. Why hemp milk over, say, almond or rice or...
So, I think almond's bad for your skin. My daughter's got eczema. And rice in this country isn't... You know, it's got so much arsenic and chemicals on it. And I think the best, most natural is hemp.
And do you find that's quite a good substitute? Does it taste like milk?
I haven't drunk milk for so long.
Right.
I just actually forgotten. And you know, I'm one of those people that looks at Instagram and looks at dairy farming and I'm like, I don't want to drink milk, you know. So don't drink milk of anything ever. Yeah. Don't buy it. Don't have it in the house.
So you have no dairy?
Well, at Christmas, I do pick up the brie with one hand and
eat it. One day a year.
Yeah. Oh, dairy.
But to be honest, that's my bigger issue with giving up dairy. It's not giving up milk. It's giving up cheese, I think. And I don't eat it a lot, but like, if I'm going out somewhere for dinner or to somebody's house for a dinner party, I would like to have at least the option of having the cheese board.
I'm like, doesn't eat dairy, but loves the cheese board in the restaurant. You know.
Yeah. That. You love bit
cheese. I just don't know what to say. This is like such a revelation to me today. I can't understand. I think I'd be too scared to try hemp milk. Even the name just sounds so... I can't believe that you hate tea, but you'll drink hemp milk.
Yeah.
Even
a nice hot glass of hemp milk instead of a tea.
Takes all kinds, doesn't it?
She's crazy, that Katie Piper. Yeah, with a hot glass of hemp milk, not going clubbing.
Yeah, I didn't have a teapot at home.
See, I know I've finally like acknowledged and accepted middle age. I really embraced the teapot. I've actually bought a nice teapot and
but
I love it.
Don't you think that's, you know, this podcast really uncovers the real truths it about does. People, don't you think?
I swear.
I just feel like, you know, I don't think that's like a world exclusive. That,
I think Casey's going to leave here today and she's talked about things that are going to stay with her.
What
she'll
is
keep pondering
the perfect
on.
Tea then? What's the perfect tea?
Well, I would argue, I mean, I don't know if this is a total psychological like trick, but I swear when I make tea in a teapot, it tastes better.
No, I like a really, really strong tea
Yorkshire
bag
tea.
That
you
I
like Yorkshire
stabbed
tea.
The bugger out of while it's had like hot water, the boiling, still rolling water into the cup. Make it so that I can't see. It's like it's got to be dense with that sort of, what colour is it? It's tea colour, isn't
Mucky
it?
Yeah,
it's
kind
of,
yeah,
like really dense. I've got to pick out a spoonful on the and see that like the water's got to still be dark in one teaspoon of water that I
oh
pick
my
up.
Gosh.
Then as I'm stirring, I'll stick in quite a lot of milk and it's got to have a really beautiful sort of like sienna.
Sheen.
Think, you know, the sienna rooftops in Tuscany. It's got to have that look.
Yeah.
See, because I'm used to herbal teas, I thought tea had to be like transparent almost.
Oh.
Because I'm used to be able to see the tea bag through the tea.
Oh my God, I'm so glad I'm sitting down right now.
Yeah.
Can I say, I do love a herbal tea myself. I don't be hating on all the herbals. I do love a herbal tea, but I could never not have real tea. I'm just calling it real tea.
How do you get through a hangover without a couple of slices of Marmite toast, lashings of butter and a really strong cup of Builders? How do you do it?
Well, I don't go
with
clubbing.
Your hemp
Never a call for it.
Yeah.
It's all the cheese board you had the night before. Yeah. It eats into all the alcohol.
Wake up and have an espresso, you know.
Yeah.
If I was going to make a tea for you guys, do you know how I'd do it, right? I would boil the kettle, put
Brace
this tea bag in an empty cup, splash on some water, quick stir, pull it out, bin the tea bag, then ask if you want milk or sugar.
Oh my God.
And it would be like pale colour.
Oh.
And that'd be that.
Some people would like that. I mean, this is the problem.
And look at her. She's not even apologising. No, even though she knows now. That's a huge error.
I also lie to guests when they're like, I say that's sugar or milk. I don't say it's not milk. And then people go as far to go, oh, I like green milk. I'm like, the milk in this house is in like a white silvery jar and it's a hemp, but I'm not going to tell you.
So, but what you're saying basically is you really, really like to discourage people visiting your house.
No.
And that I can get on board with that.
It's also very clever because if you make somebody a shit cup of tea, they'll never ask you to make it for them ever again.
That's
so you've
true.
Actually yeah. got back a lot of your life.
My father's strategy is he doesn't drink tea. And if he makes you a cup of tea, it's as white as a sheet of paper.
I used to swear we used to work with some people that would deliberately make you the worst cup of tea, knowing they would never then be asked or expected to make one ever again.
And I respect that because, you know, with the tea round at Glamour, it was like 12 cups. I used to see it and think, I pity the poor person.
Oh, it was slightly exhausting.
Yeah.
Anyway, well, on that very serious note...
I can't believe this is the subject we talk the most about.
I know.
I feel very, very passionate about this. Now I really actually do want a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Could you make me one, Katie?
Yeah. You've learned the lesson. You know how to do it.
I just want
to
see this horror, this sort of like... you know, sort of like unearthly thing that I've heard described.
Could start your Insta stories. You know all these makeup artists doing like tutorials and like days of them. You could do like tea tutorials.
Tutorials.
I don't want the hate from all the other Tevas.
Yeah.
Who disagree.
Telling you doing it wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Too political.
Yeah.
Well, Katie, like I said, on that very serious note, Katie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. It's been good fun.
Good luck with the rest of it. Now, where can everyone get tickets for the tour?
Go to my website, katiepiperandyou.co.uk, and all good reputable Ticketmaster places as well. And I'm in London 21st of May and all around the country.
And we wish you all the best with it. It's really exciting and entertaining but important work that you're doing. And
thank
if you ever
you.
Do get scared when you see sort of like the reluctant males. You're sort of like looking for that moment of inspiration. Can I say, the only thing that sounds like it's missing is maybe just get a dog on stage every now and again.
Yeah.
Sort of like, yeah. Just a sort of like cute thing. Yeah. Out. Everyone had a little interlude.
Then you literally are Britain's Got Talent. Yeah. Literally, they have nothing on you.
Just need the buzzers.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks, Katie. Good luck with the tour.
Thanks. Loved having you. Thank you.
Thanks.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.